Hey guys, how's it going? Thank you for tuning in to another wonderful episode of Tangents Retro Gaming Podcast. My name is Toby, and today we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic, which Almost Sleek on the video game community views has actually brought up. So I thought, you know, let's do this. Let's talk about this particular topic, which has affected everybody who has ever played video games, has been affected by this particular topic. But before I do, as a podcaster, I'm going to give everybody out there who has a podcast and who has an email a little bit of advice. Every day when you go check your email to see if anybody has emailed you, the best thing to do is go into your spam folder and check if any emails are in there. Because I found one not long ago that I almost missed out. It was from the Canadian Podcast Award website, like company. And they actually had it where the topic was, have your chance to get your podcast nominated for an award in your genre and stuff like that. So it's like, all right, whatever. So I went on it, checked it out, seemed legit, found my province of Saskatchewan. So I clicked on it, and there were podcasts on this website, on this, like in this area that I've recognized and I've talked to before. It's like, hey, these guys signed up, I'm going to sign up. So that's what I did. I signed up, did everything that I was supposed to, dropped a bunch of things. And sadly, on the 8th of November, the nominations were released. And no, I did not get nominated for this year. However, my next goal is to get at least something nominated next year. It was for cover art, for the music, episodes, anything. That is my goal for next year, so I need your guys' help. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, follow, do everything you can to get podcast recognized. All right, enough with the mumbling. I've did that enough. So let's get moseying onto the topic that was suggested by Almost Sleek on the app Fuse. Check it out. It was video game difficulties. And the one that he suggested was actually Silver Surfer on the NES. I remember playing it when I was younger, and I don't remember a lot about some of the games back in the NES days. It just kind of, you know, in one ear and out the other. However, as soon as they turned it on and tried playing it, holy crap. Dude, you are 100% right. That was a very freaking hard game. It wasn't like, bam, you lose a little life, bam, you lose a little life. It was more like, bam, you're dead. The very first 5 seconds of that game, I got hit. I died. It's like, oh, we just have so many people nowadays complaining about the difficulties of these video games. But if you just dig deep into what was, you'll actually realize some of the hardest video games were made back in the day. We didn't have check marks, checkpoints. We didn't have save locations that we have today. Hell, if you wanted to go back to a level, you would have to write like a 12-digit freaking save password just to access what you did. Oh, hell, there was even times where you just go, you die, and you start over again, just like The Lion King for the Sega Genesis. But Silver Surfer, when I was playing it, it was hard. But why make games easy like what everybody's expecting? That's the reason why there's always easy, hard, normal, and balls to the wall, you're dead within 5 seconds. Because people complain too much. Oh, it's too hard. Then you have, oh, it's too easy. We just need that little bit in between. But it is what it is. My buddy Terrence, who is a part of the Thunder Coast Gaming channel on YouTube, he did Battletoads. And Battletoads probably was one of those hardest games. Not for the playability. Like, it was actually pretty easy. The part that was really, really hard is when you were riding that little buggy, hopping over those little fences. It is true that you also get to see where the fence is, but it was all about the timing. Back in the day, you have consistency in patterns. If you didn't pick up the pattern when to hit that button, you will always hit that third little wall, no matter what. It's all about that. And that's what made that game so hard. There's so many people who never got past that level and rage quit. And anybody who did, I'm going to have to tip my hat off to you because that was one of the hardest levels. Another hard one that was hard was on the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game for the NES, which had absolutely nothing to do with really the TV series or even movie, but it was the swimming level. That brought nightmares to so many kids of my generation, swimming through the waters just to get zapped by that electric field. The nightmare, the sound. I've actually watched people beat it, and you're looking at it going, oh, well, that's easy. Because what I found out from one of the videos I watched, if your guy's about to die, all you got to do is switch to another person. And if you have full health, that's like one of the most biggest boners you can ever get. And I haven't went back to try because I just don't want that PTSD or whatever. I just hear them as my little turtle swimming through the water trying to stop all those bombs. Daddy, no. Oh, well. All right. Yeah, like the Silver Surfer, Battletoads, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One that was really hard and really, really frustrating, which was one of the worst rental games that I have ever played in my whole entire life. Thank God my buddy, Mike, yeah, rented it, was Friday the 13th. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows the fact that on Friday the 13th, yep, Jason goes through the camp to kill. But we never, ever, out of that 24 hours of renting that game, actually seen Jason. Because every time when we thought we had him, it turned out we weren't even close, and he went and killed a different camper. There were his videos, of course, you know, YouTube, people better, of actually killing him. But Mike, Dito, and I, we just could not do it. We had that game more or less for like, you know, a couple hours. We looked at Mike's mom and said, can we have like another $2 so we can go rent the game? And she's like, what do you mean? Rent the game. You guys just rented a game. Yeah, the game's no fun. It's way, way too hard. And, you know, we're like 10, 11, maybe 12, possibly, trying to play this game. So, of course, it was way past our brain capacity, way past even the thought of having it where everything had a pattern. Like, that was one of the issues. We thought that it was always random. But now that you take a look back at these games, if you figured out the pattern, all these games are going to be easy to beat. But when we're young, it was kind of like... So it was just one of those things. It was freaking hard, stupid, lame. It was... Rejunk? No. that was a bad terminology. Yeah, it just wasn't really that fun. Contra. One of the most, how would you say it? Named most rememberable games of all time. Not for the game, not for how hard it was, because let me tell you, if you have three lives, you hit been hit like all three of those, you're done. Just like when I first popped into Silver Surfer, you could basically have an enemy fart on you and you're dead. So the one part about this game isn't the game itself or the hardness of it that made this game famous. It was Konami cheat code, which gave you basically 100 lives. Up, up, down, down, left, right, BA, BA, start. I think that's what it is. I don't know. But there has been a lot of references to this. Like, even Wreck-It Ralph, it made that code part of something within the movie. Like, it was one of the most recognizable codes. And one of these days, I'm going to go talk to the creator of my website at soapbox.host and see if I can use that Konami cheat to unlock a certain feature in the website. Don't worry, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So I tried Contra for the first time in years, and yes, after three hits, you're done. It could be one of the quickest games you'll ever play. Your wife would even look at you and go, "You last longer in bed than you do in a video game." that was so cheesy. All right. The one that I'm so fascinated by that I could play for so long, but yet it gets so freaking annoying. Ghouls and Ghosts. Or Ghosts and Goblins. My mistake. My glasses aren't on my face properly. This one, you only have two hits. That is it. But the game itself, the sound, the graphics, it's all retro. All something that is just, it's part of you. Like, I don't know what more you can say about it. Just, it's so beautiful. But yeah, Ghosts and Goblins, you have two hits. The first hit, you get all your armor knocked off. So you're basically out there in your tidy whities with the brown streak because of all the ghosts and goblins, and it scares the crap out of you. Then you're dead if it hits you the second time. It's a good game, though. It's freaking hard as hell, but it's good. What are some of the hardest games that you have actually played? And yes, I did mention Lion King. And there's a lot of people that, for the generations, you know, about 16 to 25 years old now, they don't actually realize how hard some of these games actually were. But that's what being disappointed is all about, right? All right. So, just send me things about some of the games that you've tried that was very freaking hard. Was it Final Fantasy? Castlevania 3? Castlevania? Mega Blaster? Bard versus Space Mutants? Let me know. TangentsGamingPod@gmail.com. TangentsGaming189 across social media. Or on the Fuse app, you can also find me, Tangents_gaming. Yeah, 189 wouldn't fit, which kind of cheeses me off. But so, just let me know, and I will even address your email on the air so you can get full credit So make sure you leave your name, the game, and your handles that you want me to give a shout out to. All right, you guys. Well, hopefully you like this one, and hopefully it makes you think a little bit. Until next week, thank you for tuning in to Tangents Gaming Retro Podcast. And I will catch you next time. Peace.